Hello, and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode 43, Dinner with Friends. I am your host, The Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me once again is my guest co-host for the week, my tag team partner, The Ox, David Oxford.
Hello there.
And once again, we are back to talk about what's going on in the world of Nintendo. One thing that happened right after we finished last week's episode was that Miitomo and My Nintendo went live in North America. So we're going to be talking about both of those. In fact, My Nintendo is going to be our big topic this week. But before we get to that stuff, let's kick it off with some game impressions.
Wait just a minute. You lured me here with the promise of creating crack Sonic slash fiction pairings. What happened to that?
You'll have to turn to your friends for Archie for that one. I understand it's in an upcoming issue.
Mm-hmm. Big Alley for life.
So specifically, let's start with some impressions of Hyrule Warriors Legends for 3DS. You know, we talked about this one last week, but neither of us had actually had a chance to go hands-on. But I have gotten a chance to play it and sample the game a bit, so I thought I would discuss what I've encountered.
You mean it's no longer a secret to everyone?
It's not a secret to me, anyway.
Yeah, it's still a secret to me. But I am interested in hearing your opinions on the subject, because I do trust your opinions on such things.
All right, well, thank you kindly. What I would say from what I've played so far is that I found it actually does run pretty well on the new 3DS hardware. I'm not really big when it comes to frame rate, so you know, maybe it's a bit framey, and it's just not something that's standing out to me. But I thought from a frame rate perspective, it was very acceptable. There was still a ton of pop-up, though, and it definitely can't hold a candle to the Wii U version, graphically speaking.
Have you had an opportunity to try it on a regular Nintendo 3DS yet? I've heard varying things about the quality there.
I actually have, but only for a couple minutes just before we started recording. And the main takeaway from that is that it's not in 3D. It's on a 3DS, but it does not run in 3D on the old hardware. And I can understand that because I guess it would get, you know, super duper framey. But yeah, no 3D, and that's kind of lame.
How does it perform? I've heard some people describe it as barely playable, while others seem a bit more, shall we say, kind to it.
Well, on the old 3DS, I can't really say, because I only played it for a very, very short time, and I didn't really notice it taking, you know, a huge hit. But if they had to turn off the 3D, man, I mean, that's a big sign there's a problem right there. As far as the new 3DS goes, you know, I thought despite all the pop-up, it still plays pretty good. There's a, you know, ton of action going on, just like with the Wii U counterpart. But if you have played that version, you know, it's very, very familiar ground.
Speaking of familiar ground, how does the new content work into it? Like, does it feel just kind of crammed in, or does it actually integrate pretty well with what we've already seen on the Wii U?
It's kind of hard to say from that point of view. I mean, right when you turn it on, you know, you don't have access to any of the new stuff. You can get Toon Link pretty early on in adventure mode. That's, you know, sort of the almost, you know, board game-like mode where you're looking at this old-school Zelda map and you have to score a certain level when you play through the stage to be able to move on to a different level, and you choose which one you go to, and if you do well enough, then you earn a prize. And one of those first levels you get to earns you a prize of Toon Link. So he's just in the game that way. You unlock him by playing adventure mode. Linkle, on the other hand, after you've played a few levels of legend mode, which is the story mode, you get to access one of her stages. That's just sort of a side story. And it's a little bit goofy compared to what else is going on in the story. And unfortunately, it's only that one stage. I assume there will be more stages with her later on that also just, you know, are sort of, you know, branches that come off of main story missions. And I would say that both Toon Link and Linkle are fairly fun to play. They stand out from the other characters. They're unique. Linkle still has a horrible, horrible name. But, you know, it's a pretty decent character, and, you know, she's fun.
Well, let's face it, Link is kind of a silly name on its own. We've just been listening to it for 30 years, and we're kind of used to it.
But Linkle sounds like the love child of Link and Tingle, and they probably should have thought of that before they actually pulled the trigger on that one.
Granted.
Yes. Then there's also My Fairy Mode, which is something else that I unlocked by playing Adventure Mode. I found a fairy on one of the maps, which is hiding in a jar, and now I have this fairy, and I can feed it, and I can dress it, and I can give it new abilities, but except that I can't, because I guess all that stuff's unlockable. I have to play a lot more of the game to be able to change anything. So all I have is a fairy who can do kind of a cool spell to wipe out a bunch of enemies and possibly resurrect me, although I haven't died yet to test that out. But as far as my fairy mode goes, the jury is kind of still out on that.
Ooh, can you name your fairy?
You can. You can, indeed. The default name of the first one is Relic, and I just stuck with that.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Another thing that I found interesting about the game is that there is no more challenge mode, which is kind of weird because the official website says that with the Phantom Hourglass and Spirit Tracks pack, as well as the Link Between Worlds pack for DLC, it says those will be including two new challenge mode scenarios. So maybe it's coming later as DLC, or maybe it's just a mistake. I don't know. Either way, challenge mode I thought was kind of pointless in the Wii U version because adventure mode contains a lot of challenge mode type stuff, you know, kill so many enemies in a short time span or something like that. So I don't really miss it, but it is kind of weird that there's conflicting reports as to whether it's in there or not.
Maybe that's their way of balancing out the two versions, since even though the characters can be shared across both versions, the Nintendo 3DS version has the story content, whereas the Wii U version, you only get to play as those new characters like Linkle and company.
Yeah, very possible. I will say I did like the new gameplay features. Being able to teleport around the map using the owl statues, very cool and much appreciated. And being able to swap between characters, also much appreciated. You know, I think we talked about this before. We said, oh, it would have been so great if they just made a patch for the Wii U version to incorporate that into that game. I don't see that happening. But yeah, it is a nice new feature. Bottom line, I would say that the game is fun. It's good. All the enhancements are appreciated. I don't really want to play through it all again, but if you haven't played through it again, it's definitely worthwhile.
All right. Sounds pretty good. I should look into getting that one then.
Yeah, if you can at least try it out, that'd be cool.
How would you rate it on the old Nintendo Power scale if you were to do that so far?
Well, I'd hate to give it a rating without actually playing more, but probably somewhere around a 7, I suppose.
A 7? Okay. Mm-hmm. That's not bad.
Now, moving on to another new title that I know you have been playing, Miitomo. As we mentioned, that one came out about a week ago, and it's, you know, Nintendo's first mobile offering, and it's here. Miitomo. Woohoo!
Yeah, it's here. It's free. Get used to it.
And the interesting thing about it is that, you know, I would not call it a game. I would call it, you know, more of like Nintendo's take on a social network. I mean, we kind of knew that before, that it wasn't going to be a real game. It was just going to be, you know, talking with friends and stuff. But really, the more I play with it, the more I think, yes, this is Nintendo's version of a social network. This is how Nintendo would do Twitter. You know, if Twitter, you know, didn't allow you to post just anything and was sort of making you focus on certain types of answers or questions or content, and then, you know, sort of giving you a little bit of a reward if people liked and retweeted your stuff enough. That's kind of what this is.
I don't know if I quite agree with it not being a game. I see where you're coming from, but at the same time, it's like if Nintendo were to turn a social network into a game. Because
well, it's certainly got some gamified things going on. That's true.
Yeah, but really, what is a game exactly? Nintendo's defied that convention time and again, and
well, there's
I think
no
this
real
is
way
another
to progress. There aren't any win-loss conditions, but there are definitely some gamified elements. I will give you that.
There are rewards. I mean, you know, once upon a time, games, you know, you kind of went for a high score and the opportunity to put your name at the top, and you know, it's still got kind of a certain objective to it in earning the different prizes. There are many games where you can play outfits, which feed into changing your outfit each day, which gets you more coins and ranks and levels and bragging rights to your friends.
Yeah, we actually did talk about this title a little bit when CJ was on. He had played the Japanese version, but of course, now it's out in North America. We've actually been able to play with a whole bunch of different other people. And again, I use play, you know, sort of in quotation marks. But, you know, it's certainly different being able to experience it with a whole vast group of friends, as opposed to, you know, just a, you know, couple of people whom I've been playing the Japanese version at the time, since, you know, our friends lists aren't necessarily filled with other people who had access to the Japanese version.
Yeah. In a way, it kind of reminds me, and I think this was the intent, it's like a more socially interactive, kind of like Tomodachi Life.
Yeah, it's kind of a Tomodachi Life. That's one of the things that CJ was saying last time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little less materialistically oriented, I suppose you could say, because you can't decorate your apartment, but you can get different outfits.
Mm-hmm. And, well, that might be something that's coming in an update, because, you know, there's probably only so much you can do with outfits. I think that it would be very possible if they'll start letting you decorate your room, because, you know, people come over and visit, they come over and check it out, and that'd certainly be another way for them to add interest to the game. They have long-term plans with this, so I wouldn't be surprised to see that eventually in there.
Yeah, anything's possible. This is just the beginning, and mm-hmm. it's already hit the top of the charts. It's a matter mm-hmm. of keeping momentum, so they are going to have to find ways to liven up the experience.
Yeah, even... I mean, that's kind of the problem I've had so far, is that, you know, the first day I got it, I was using it a whole bunch. I noticed my friends were using it a whole bunch. We were exchanging lots of questions and answers, and I was noticing my rank go up really fast. But since then, people's interest seems to have kind of died off a little bit. But yeah, having stuff in there to maintain that interest and keep you coming back for more, that's kind of the challenge. And, you know, I'm not sure, if it weren't for the fact that I'm earning points for my Nintendo, I'm not sure how much I'd be using this.
Yeah, that's part of it. That's part of the compulsion to come back, I'm sure. But even Twitter and Facebook, they make changes over time to keep people, you know, mm-hmm. participating and active and that sort of thing. But mm-hmm. I don't think it's necessarily nosedived so much as leveled out. I mean, it's like when you're playing Tomodachi Life or Animal Crossing, once you first get it, you know, you're looking everywhere, you're familiarizing yourself with it, you're spending a lot more time with it, and then it becomes the thing where you check in, like, you know, every day or right. two, and you know you know the ropes, and you're basically doing your due diligence, for lack of a better
term.
I
think that's Nintendo's intent with it.
Yeah, so I think, you know, people have who have initially gotten on the boat, the day one people, mm-hmm. you know, they've gotten used to it, and you know, it's, you know, go in, check a few questions, change your outfit, that kind of thing, and, you know, go on about your day. Maybe check in later if you have time, or don't, if you don't have
very
time.
Very much so.
It all comes back around the same, and with less dead grass and weeds, for that matter.
Yeah, this is true. I have to say, I am kind of surprised how, you know, un-Nintendo-y it is in some regards. In some ways, it's very Nintendo-y. Like I said, it's, you know, Nintendo adding their brand of fun to a social network. But I think it's kind of un-Nintendo-y the way that you're sharing all this information. You know, they're, you know, really paranoid about privacy in a lot of ways. If you go on Miiverse and try to put on your Twitter handle, you know, you get blocked. But here they're like, yeah, share your Twitter, share your Facebook, answer all these questions, give us your mother's maiden name, and all the answers to your security questions. And, you know, it's not actually quite that bad, but it's almost that bad, because you're giving out, you know, a lot of, you know, personal information. And in the hands of another company, I'd be like, man, what are they going to do with this? Are they just going to harvest this, and then they're going to know, like, every single thing about me? It's a little scary, if you think of it that way.
I haven't seen anything quite as bad as all of that.
No, I joke a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. But really, the stuff that it asks you to input, it's probably the kind of stuff you would probably be sharing with the same group of friends on Facebook or Twitter, the same people who you've invited in for the most part anyway. You know, what did you do last weekend? You know, What are you really into right now? It's questions like that. And
I know, but it's also stuff like, hey, what was your first pet? Which is, you know, like a security question on my, you know, bank website or something.
Well,
like I said, I'm kind of kidding about that stuff. But it just seems not bad. It doesn't seem bad at all. It just seems, you know, a little different from Nintendo's norm, that I'm surprised how you know, open they are with things like this.
Yeah, considering how quickly they were to shut down Swapnote, it is a surprising development from them, and it makes you wonder just what kind of duration this has, and if they're going to just shutter the entire thing at the first sign of trouble that someone is misusing their, you know, program, their app.
Another thing I thought was interesting is that even though this software does have in-app purchases, it's really, really hidden there. They don't, you know, kind of throw that stuff in your face at all. It's hard to tell that it's even monetized. Like, I went on to the actual app store, and it's like, you can buy like 100,000 coins to use in the game for like $75. I think that's the biggest one they have. Yikes. And you can do that. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. But so far in the game, I haven't actually found a way to spend any real cash. It's kind of weird. It's like, I was trying to look around for it. I'm like, where would you do this? I don't have any intent to do it because, you know, my coins are enough. I don't need a zillion outfits or anything. But it is kind of weird how much they're downplaying the monetization aspect of the game.
Yeah, I haven't even seen any of that at all. But I guess in terms of making money, I don't think that's really a concern of theirs with this. It's probably a nice side benefit for anybody who really needs to fulfill their fashion quota. But
I kind of feel like that they've been planning to make money with this. That certainly seems like the intent from what they've said in Japan.
Well, I think they are, but not exactly directly. I think this probably ties into our later topic more. But you do earn points for My Nintendo with this.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, you've got the discounts you can get on games, but they aren't exactly huge discounts. I doubt you're cutting out their profits when you purchase a digital game from them with the little discount. So basically, it's kind of like, do you remember the settlement they had back in the 80s or 90s where they had to basically give all their consumers like these $5 off coupons for a Nintendo game?
Oh, yes, I believe they were in Nintendo Power.
Yeah, and basically, the people who've looked back on it in history are like, well, the joke is on whoever settled for that because they just got people to buy more Nintendo products. And I think that's a similar case here. Yeah, they're giving out these little discounts when you play the game, but you're still spending a chunk if you buy the games that the discounts are for. And that's probably where they're getting their money from this, or at least looking to in the future.
Yeah, I think they're definitely trying to use it as a way to link to the broader world of Nintendo. That's something they've been saying from the beginning.
Exactly.
It's definitely a smart thing for them to do. And, you know, I guess that'd be one thing to applaud them for.
Yeah, it's a clever way to turn what some people have found to be a weakness in Nintendo's overall marketing strategy into a strength without sacrificing their platforms.
Anyway, I don't think it's mind-blowing. I'm not sure how much I'm going to use it in the long term, but overall I'd say it's fun. It's decent. It's a nice little time waster for, you know, if you're you know, watching TV and you hit a commercial break or something like that. Definitely worth checking out.
Definitely. I think so. I mean, you can't beat the price.
This is true. This is true. Moving on to another topic, late last week we got a little bit of a present from our friends at Capcom. We learned that the Ace Attorney anime was coming out in North America, and it came out really soon. In fact, it's already out. It hit last Saturday over on Crunchyroll.
Is that a is it a dub, like a localized version, or is it just subtitled? Or
it's just subtitled. The Japanese one just came out, so getting an English dub already would be you know, fairly amazing. This is pretty much a simultaneous release with the Japanese version.
I see. Is there any word on a localized version in the future?
Nothing that I've heard about, but I mean, certainly this is a lot more than I expected. And if you're an Ace Attorney fan, you know, this is pretty darn cool, something you'd want to check out. I don't suppose you've had a chance to see it yet?
Not yet.
Well, I was right there. I was sure to check it out. It went live at like 4 a.m. my time. I think that'd be 7 a.m. for you, but I was there at 4 a.m. Like, I'm going to see this thing right away. And I watch it as quick as I could, and it's very, very true to the game. As a big Ace Attorney fan, I'm fairly happy with what they did. It looks very good from just a visual drawing standpoint. The animation itself maybe could be a little better. I would say it's good, but not great. And the first episode, it basically just follows the first episode of the first Ace Attorney game, where you are defending your friend Larry Butts from his murder charge.
Okay, I was wondering about that. Like, I won't expect a heavy degree of animation given what we're dealing with here. Even the games aren't heavily animated.
Mm-hmm.
And as for the story, yeah, I was wondering if they were adapting the games, if it was meant to kind of flow in between the games, or if it's something else.
Oh, no, it's very, very true to the games. And there's even, you know, some little touches that come from the game, like some HUD elements and some sound effects, and even some of the music that pops up.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I don't know. I'm not I'm kind of on the fence about that, if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But certainly if you're familiar with the games, it'll make you smile and take notice, and you'll be like, yes, these guys definitely know the source material. And like I said, I wouldn't say the animation is bad. Just like, you know, in the introduction, for example, it shows the characters running, and the running animation doesn't seem like it has enough frames in it. And I'm like, well, I guess that's why in the Ace Attorney games, you don't usually see them running around. But yeah, it tells the Ace Attorney story very well. And, you know, it's probably not as dramatic as the actual game. I feel like, you know, some stuff, you know, when you're not trying to figure it out yourself and it's just being presented to you and they only have, you know, 20-something minutes to do it, just the drama didn't quite come through the way it does in the game. But overall, I would say it's pretty neat. Like I said, I didn't really expect this to come out here. One thing that is weird is that the default sub has all the Japanese names for the characters. So, you know, it doesn't have Phoenix Wright and Mia and Maya. It has all the Japanese names for that. And that is just kind of weird.
That sounds like it would be a little hard to follow for somebody who's more familiar with the North American, the English release, than the Japanese. Do they at least give you the traditional anime staple of when they introduce a new character putting their name on the screen or something to help you out?
You know, I don't really remember if they do that or not, but I will tell you they did put up an alternate track for the sub on their website that does have the English name, so it'll be interesting to see going forward if they continue doing that. And it certainly makes it easier to follow, like you were indicating. It doesn't seem like it hurts anything to go with those, you know, Americanized names. Clearly they're in Japan in the anime. It's a little bit easier to fake it and say, oh yeah, it's Los Angeles in the game. But when you see the characters actually, you know, walking down the city streets and riding their bikes down the road, it's like, oh yeah, there is no way you're going to pass this off as Los Angeles. But still, you know, there's a lot of ways that anime and games, you know, diverge from each other. So, you know, having it with the American names, but still obviously set in Japan, I think, you know, totally works pretty well.
How is the quality of the dub itself, would you say, or sorry, the subbing, like, is it kind of broken English at all, or does it flow pretty well?
I thought it flowed pretty well. I noticed a couple of typos, but overall, I'd say it's good stuff.
Awesome.
Like I said, it's on Crunchyroll. It's available 4 a.m. Pacific time on Saturdays. If you're an Ace Attorney fan, you should totally check it out. Speaking of Ace Attorney, over in Japan, they have released some new information on Ace Attorney 6. We have found out that Emma Sky, the detective from Ace Attorney 4, and you know also the young forensic scientist in Ace Attorney 1, is back. Awesome. Don't have a whole lot to say about that, but she's one of my favorite characters. So just wanted to make mention of it. So that's pretty darn cool.
She's one of my favorites, too. Does she seem to be as she was in Ace Attorney 4, I believe it was?
Yeah, she looks the same as she did there.
Okay, so she's still on that trip then. Okay.
So it seems. Don't know if there are any chocolate snackoos that she'll be throwing, but I kind of hope there are.
That would be awesome. I'm actually a little bit behind on my Ace Attorney games. I still need to play 4. I did buy the last one when it was on a Nintendo eShop sale. So
now, are you talking about the trilogy, or are you talking about Ace Attorney 5?
I've played the first 3 games to completion. It's the Apollo Justice and the one where Phoenix comes back to the stand.
Ah, Dual Destiny is a fine, fine game.
Yeah, it's the 2 last ones that I need to do. And I suppose Ace Attorney Investigations. I don't know. It wasn't anything I planned or, you know, there was no particular reason. But I haven't really gotten into the series in a while, with the exception of the Professor Layton crossover, which was pretty slick. Oh, and I was going to ask, do you know, like, have you seen any of the summaries or synopsis or anything for any of the future episodes of the anime?
I'm under the impression that it follows the first game, and I think maybe the second game as well. You can expect it to stick fairly close to what you've experienced in the video games.
Oh, so no original material, like the manga or anything?
No, I don't believe so.
Oh, that's too bad. I would love to see a more expansive Ace Attorney, like, sort of a retelling, because, you know, there's got to be more stuff going on.
Well, I guess we'll find out. It could be that it diverges in some small ways. But for the most part, I'm kind of happy that it's going this direction. With the manga, you know, sometimes it was really hit or miss. Some of the stuff was good when it diverged. Some of the stuff, not so much.
Yeah, but at the same time, those are stories I've been through. And having some new material that manages to keep to the sense, the feel of the games would be pretty nice, too, I think.
Moving on to another bit of news. We heard that the Nintendo DS is on its last legs. Apparently the Nintendo DSi shop, the predecessor of the eShop, will be shutting down soonish, and repairs for the original model Nintendo DS will also be stopping, at least in some regions. Now, by the Nintendo DSi shop closing soon, I mean March 31st of next year. So we're talking about like a year off before this thing shuts down. Any thoughts on that?
Just two. One, is anybody still using the Nintendo DSi shop? And two, all that stuff is on the Nintendo 3DS eShop now anyway, isn't it?
Yes. To answer your first question, probably not. And yes, I think almost everything is on the eShop now. So, you know, I saw some people online, you know, kind of making a big deal about this. And for me, it's like, who really cares? I mean, I've actually gone on to the DSi shop sometime in the past year. It was a horrible experience. That's like the most hard to navigate digital shop front ever. The main way to search thing is by price point. I mean, who the heck is like, well, I'm really in the mood for a $5.99 game today.
Wow.
So
I never had a Nintendo DSi. My wife had one, but I never really used it. I had no idea it was that bad.
I mean, there are other ways to search, but that's the primary way to do it. And it was just so slow and so clunky. And it really feels like it's being powered by, like, you know, a hamster in a wheel, you know, like tied to an old N64 or something. So yeah, I'm not going to miss the DSi shop at all. Good riddance to bad rubbish. Nintendo has improved dramatically since then, and things have gotten much better. And yeah, any of that stuff you can pretty much download for your Nintendo 3DS. I saw an article online that was titled, you know, The Beginning of the End for Nintendo DS. And I was like, you know, I hate to tell you this, but the beginning of the end started more than 5 years ago when the 3DS burst onto the scene, and then they shut down the Nintendo Wi-Fi network not a whole lot longer than that. So, I don't know. I don't think this is a big deal at all. It's been a long time coming. Yeah, everybody is moving forward with progress, so.
Wasn't that on US Gamer, that article?
Yes, it was.
Oh, yeah, I think my wife wrote that.
Well, this suddenly got very awkward.
I do know at least one person or a company who's probably going to care about the shutdown of the Nintendo DSi shop, maybe. I've noticed there's a company, I've seen it on the Nintendo download, I think in the last year, they like release all these like really cheap games.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what quality they are, but they're labeled as Nintendo DSiWare, which of course is also in the Nintendo 3DS eShop, so maybe they don't care that much. But that it's for Nintendo DSi at all might tell you something about their demographic. Interestingly enough, I've not played any of those games despite wanting to, because in spite of having a North American release, they are not available in Canada. So that is a very peculiar thing.
Very weird. Yeah, I have noticed that the DSiWare has had longer legs than it had any right to. But as I said, this isn't happening for a year. So hopefully by then, this budget price company will be able to make the transition, or maybe they'll run out of things to bring over to North America.
Yeah, the Nintendo WiiWare shop, that's the one I'm more concerned about right now, but fortunately there has been no news on that front, and as they say, no news is good news.
There's also been a bit of new news about one of our favorite news topics here, Amiibo.
Amiibo!
What's going on there?
Well, Nintendo has announced that there are some cool little Amiibo display stand diorama things coming out in Japan. You know, they're sort of made of, it looks like either paper or plastic. And there are two of them. There's a Smash Brothers one and a Kirby one. And there are these little background dioramas where you can set up your amiibo. And there's also some little cutout objects that go with them. So like there's a Maxim tomato and some other stuff for Kirby. There is a Smash ball for the Super Smash Brothers one. And for an amiibo fan like me, I'd say these look pretty neat.
That does sound pretty cool. It would be a reason for me to take mine out of the package. I mostly keep them in there because they're easier to stack and dust that way. Above me is like a wall of amiibo. Mm-hmm. But you said that Nintendo announced. Does that mean this is more of a first-party offering rather than some of the third-party things we've seen?
It looks like it to me. I mean, it's on Nintendo's site, and they are promoting it Sort of like they do with the regular amiibo. So that's the impression I'm getting. I could be wrong about that since I don't know Japanese, but that's how it looks to me. I would say these look pretty cool. They are under $10, and I really hope they come stateside.
Me too, especially if they develop something like a stack up or a Gyromite set to put your Rob amiibo into. That would be awesome.
I would not hold my breath for that one.
I'm not either, but got to hold out some hope.
I think that takes care of the news part of the podcast. Let's take a little intermission, and when we come back, we will talk about our big topic, My Nintendo. All right, we are back, and we are here to discuss this week's big topic, which is the arrival of My Nintendo in North America. Now, if you haven't used My Nintendo yet, basically, it's a new substitute for Club Nintendo. You log online, you earn points, you get rewards, and you're basically automatically signed up if you already have a Nintendo account. So what do you think of this thing so far, Mr. Oxford?
So far, it's kind of interesting. I mean, I kind of miss the physical swag aspect of Club Nintendo, but this has a certain practicality. It reminds me a little bit of the whole thing that when the Wii U launched, the digital download promotion.
Oh, yeah, Digital Deluxe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting this to be.
Yeah, it's not quite like that.
You download stuff, you get a percentage back. It's actually a lot more than that, really.
Yeah.
But I thought they were going to use that as a basis.
Yeah, in that regard, I liked that and I wanted to see more of that. So in that way, I'm definitely happy with it. But I haven't really had a chance to buy a lot of stuff from it. A lot of the games they're using as promotional material I already have. So It's been kind of a, okay, maybe I'll wait a bit and see where things go. But they've also got some unique prizes going on there in terms of games that you can get.
Well, before we get to the prizes, I just like to talk about the experience of this thing itself. And I have to confess, I was a little bit bewildered when I first logged on, because I went on there, I'm like, I'm really familiar with all this stuff. This should be a breeze to use. But they're like, oh, hey, you're going to be completing missions and you're going to get prizes. And then it's like, oh, now you automatically got some points. Now you're going to redeem it for a prize. I've got this points box. I'm like, why am I getting this points box? What does it do? And I clicked on it and I still don't know what it does. I think it's just a graphic, but that was like a kind of a lame tutorial to try to teach you to use it.
I was debating on do I want to get the bank or do I want to save the coins? And I was like, it's part of the tutorial. Let's just go for it.
Well, you didn't have a choice. You were forced to get the bank.
Oh, really? Okay, so.
Yeah, I tried clicking other places and it didn't really work. So yeah, you kind of had to do that. But then, you've got all these missions, you've got all these prizes, and the way the prizes are presented, it's not really obvious because they don't list, what it costs. You have to actually click on it to see how to get this prize. And then you either have to, back out and click on another one, or you can, scroll from prize to prize. But it's kind of weird. They kind of bury that information. And then, of course, it's also confusing that there are three different kinds of points. You get the gold points for buying digital games. And then there are two kinds of platinum points. One that you get from playing Miitomo, as we were kind of alluding to in the first half of the show. And then the other one for doing My Nintendo and Nintendo account related activities, like looking at Facebook, or if you had been a Club Nintendo user, you got some bonus points from that. And it was just like, okay, this doesn't entirely make sense. And it took me a while to actually figure out that there were two kinds of platinum points and that I actually had over 1,000 platinum points so I could get one of the prizes. I'm like, oh, these two things work together. Oh, okay. They really didn't make that clear. Why are they in two different boxes? Plus there's this third box. So I don't know. Maybe I'm just being a little, you know, foolish with this, but I thought they could have made it, you know, move a little more smoothly.
Yeah, it's a little confusing. I think, as I was saying, Nintendo with Miitomo is trying to turn social networking into a game. I think they're trying to turn this into a game as well, and I don't know. Oh,
yeah, very much so.
I don't know how well that may go over, because when it comes to matters of money, I think people just like things to be a little more straightforward. But yeah, I still don't even quite understand how the two different sets of platinum coins work. And then the platinum are kind of worth less than the gold coins. Like, when is platinum?
I mean, they're redeemable for different things. So.
Yeah, I guess it depends on your perspective. But and then it's like, can you even get? Okay, like you get gold coins for purchasing games, correct?
Yes, but, digital games.
Yeah, so you don't get squat for purchasing a physical game, then, is the impression that I'm getting?
Yes, unless something changes and they start putting in a way to, you know, redeem gold coin points in the games. Yeah, that seems to be the way they're going. They're really, you know, trying to push people towards digital if they want to get some sort of reward for it, which doesn't really sit that well with me because,
yeah,
you know, the systems that currently exist, Wii U and 3DS, they are not really built for containing a lot of downloadable full games. With Wii U, it's almost impossible to hold more than a couple of games without buying an external hard drive. And if you got, you know, just the basic set, it's pretty much impossible to get even a single game on there. So it's like, yes, yeah, nice that you want us to do that, but it's really not practical. And even with 3DS, I download a ton of stuff on there. I have like the biggest size memory card that the system supports. But if I were doing all of my, you know, full size games that way, I'd be maxed out super fast. So, you know, it just doesn't work as well in reality as it seems like it should the way Nintendo's pushing it.
Yeah, even Bayonetta 2, when that came out, I was supposed to get a digital download of it for review. It was that and the first game, but I wasn't able to get it because I didn't have room on my drive. And even if I cleared everything off, there still wouldn't have been enough room for it from what I've read of how big it is, the two games together. I mean, I guess I could have wiped everything out, then downloaded one game, then wiped that out, then downloaded the other game, and I probably would have. I'd probably be, like, you know, in a better position now, arguably speaking, but who wants to do that, you know?
Right, it is a real pain in the butt.
Maybe something that they should consider is when you buy enough digital games, they could give you a discount on a Nintendo-branded external hard drive or SD card.
Yeah, that might not be a bad idea at all if that's the way they want to do this thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, one thing I will say from a technical perspective, though, and as far as ease of use goes, is that when Club Nintendo went live, I'm like, okay, I'm going to get on here, I'm going to register some stuff, and I like couldn't use the darn thing for 3 bloody days because the thing was just constantly crashing. It was constantly down. Lots of people were trying to go on there. And, you know, that wasn't a problem at all with this thing because, you know, I suppose one reason is because you're not having to enter a ton of codes and you're not going to have to, you know, fight against other people trying to get the prizes. Everything did run very, very smoothly. It was a pretty seamless, simple experience, despite the fact that, you know, some things are not fully explained. So I will give them kudos for in that regard, certainly.
I know it trumps the opening days of Club Nintendo as far as usability goes, and that was the closing days of Club Nintendo.
Yes.
Good luck trying to redeem your coins in time.
Yeah, that was a big old cluster for sure.
Yeah.
That was the worst.
Here's hoping that DNA, I think they're called, they're helping Nintendo with the online infrastructure and stuff. I guess maybe that's starting to pay off already as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say so.
They also, I think, helped basically revamp the maybe not the entirety of Nintendo's website, but the whole games thing where you find the listings and you can buy them through the website now, which is a nice addition. I think you can even redeem codes there, which is something that the...
Yes, you can. I was going to get to that in a little bit.
Oh, sorry.
One of the prizes I got, it was like, oh, hey, here's the code. Do you want to redeem it right now? And I'm like, huh, well, this seems weird for a Nintendo game, but let's try it. And I clicked on it. And yeah, sure enough, I then went to my 3DS and like opened the lid and closed the lid, and then like poof, a game magically appeared. And that's just so weird from a Nintendo system. But yeah, it totally works.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, it's something I've enjoyed about other platforms is being able to redeem codes online. It's nice that Nintendo's finally caught up.
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely.
Now, if we can just get some cross-platform compatibility with those virtual console games.
Yeah, or with Hyrule Warriors.
At this point, I'd just be happy not to shell out $12 for a Super NES game that I already own like four times over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I just bought Earthbound when it came out on 3DS Virtual Console last week. And aside from having to pay for the game all over again, it's like, you know, I've already like halfway through this game on my Wii U. Am I really going to start from scratch on the 3DS? No, probably not. But, you know, it's Earthbound, so I had to buy it anyway. Anyway, I digress. I'm getting off topic. So let's move back to my Nintendo stuff and talk about some of these prizes that are on there. Which ones have caught your eye so far?
The big one so far for me is... Well, I was tempted by the Miitomo Mario suit that was soon available, and they've got some other prizes that go back into that game there, but I haven't gone for any of those. Now, the one that's really caught my eye is My Nintendo Picross, The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess.
Yes. Yeah, that was one that, you know, we were talking about on the show when, you know, the rumors first started rumbling about that. We're like, oh, man, I really hope this is real and not a hoax. And it really did come out. It really is a My Nintendo prize. And, yeah, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I mean, Twilight Princess is one of my favorite Zeldas, and I've never played Picross before, so I've been a little reluctant to jump right in. I was told that I should check out the free Pokemon version first and see how I like it, and then if I like that, then go for this.
Well, that might be one way to do it. You know, I'm a big fan of Twilight Princess. I'm also a big fan of Picross, and I have already got this prize, and so far I really like it. You know, it does everything that Picross is supposed to do. It really uses the Zelda theme well. It does have some helpful options you can use, but it's not forced on you like it is in Pokemon Picross. I don't want to knock Pokemon Picross because it's a pretty fun game, but it focuses very heavily on using these special abilities that sort of let you, you know, cheat, that give you, you know, big hints that you can use. And it really encourages this because that's the way that you complete the missions, is by, you know, using a certain ability or something. And for me, that detracts from the purity of what the experience is. And, you know, I just kind of want to be like, okay, I'm going to use my actual brain to figure this out. And that makes it more fun. But still, yeah, I mean, that's a great way to get a little sample of Picross if you, you know, have never played it before and aren't sure you want a Legend of Zelda version.
Okay, are you saying the Zelda version is more pure than the Pokemon one?
Yes, very much so. Also, I had heard that the Zelda one was really short, and I heard it only had 45 puzzles in it, but that's not true. It has 45 puzzles in like the easier mode, and then another 45 in the hard mode, and then there's like a big mega puzzle that has, you know, is it like, you know, 64, almost 64 smaller puzzles that go into it. So for a freebie, having, you know, 90-plus Zelda-themed puzzles, you know, I think that's a pretty darn cool reward.
Are the later puzzles part of a dark world, or...?
Most of the puzzles are, you know, they're pretty simple things that I've encountered so far. You know, it's like, oh, you know, here's an item, here's a character's face. You know, here's, you know, Mallow, the obnoxious baby kid, or the compass, or a crossbow, or something like that.
Oh, okay. I just expect with the Zelda games, once you think you're at the end, then they flip and send you into the other world, so...
Well, who knows? Maybe after I've completed those other 90 puzzles, there will be more content, which would be amazing, because I think that 90 is already a pretty solid number for, as I said, a free game. I'm pretty happy with it so far. So yeah, that's certainly what caught my eye, and I was really trying to build up my points, and as soon as I got them, I totally redeemed them on that. But on top of that, there is some other cool exclusive stuff. There are some exclusive themes you can get for your 3DS. There's a Mario theme and a Donkey Kong theme. Although, if I'm not mistaken, those are only available for like a month or something. So if you don't redeem that pretty soon, it's like, oh, well, you're not going to get a chance for these again, or maybe they'll bring them back at some later time.
Hopefully they'll rotate them better than some of the Club Nintendo prizes.
Club Nintendo stuff really didn't rotate. It was in there, then it was gone. And it doesn't really seem like there's any reason for them to rotate out, some of this stuff, because you know it's digital. You can't run out of it like you could physical goods. But I guess it's just to add some sense of urgency. I don't know.
Yeah, the coins themselves, those expire after just 6 months too, which is a bit of a downside.
Yeah, that's kind of weird, and I'm not a really big fan of that.
No.
Especially with the gold coins, because you can't amass them that quickly unless you're buying tons and tons of games. If you're just doing like virtual console stuff, then you're not going to acquire those that fast. It's like, okay, well, how am I going to redeem this for... what are the prizes you can get for the gold coins again? Yeah, it's like 30% discount on Splatoon, 30% discount on Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, or Majora's Mask, yeah, or Ultimate NES Remix.
Or a download code for Super Mario 64 is one they show here.
Yep, there are even some full games you can get. Like, I do have enough points to get a Pikmin 3 DLC pack, but if I wanted to get a full... copy of Mario 64, and it's like, well, how long is that going to take me? That's going to take a long time. I mean, obviously, I have that game already.
Yeah.
But
it seems that most of the games are with the gold coins, but there are some exceptions here.
That is kind of weird.
One noteworthy one besides the Zelda Picross that's caught my eye is WarioWare Touched for the Nintendo 3DS. That one you can buy with platinum coins. I'm not sure if it's available any other way.
It's not, and that was the thing that really stood out to me, is that I saw this on there, I'm like, holy crap, you can get a full DS game download on the Nintendo 3DS, and that's something they should have done a long time ago, because, that system has such a great library, and a lot of that stuff is out of print, and it's like, well, yeah, just make these available as a download, and they haven't done that until now. I looked into it, and there was an Advance Wars game for DS that was released as a prize over in Japan, I believe a Club Nintendo prize, but in North America, this is the first time that it's happened, and it just seems like, such an obvious thing to do, and a way for some of these, not so easy to get games to get a new life. It would be really great if they could expand upon this, whether it's just regular eShop stuff or more My Nintendo prizes, but it's really cool, in my opinion.
Yeah, they've been releasing Nintendo DS games on the Wii U as part of the Virtual Console, and some have been okay, but the 3DS, let's face it, that's where it would be the most at home.
Yeah, I haven't bought any of those on Wii U, but on 3DS, that's brilliant.
I got a couple. I think I got Donkey Kong Jungle Climber, that was okay. I got New Super Mario Brothers, so I could review that for NF. But I was probably going to get that anyway, just because I love New Super Mario Brothers. But I've always wondered, why don't they just put this stuff in the Nintendo eShop along with their Nintendo 3DS library? And I mean, it should be able to be playable, and this proves that it is.
So. Yep, absolutely. But those are the big ones that caught my eye. WarioWare Touch, I think, is a great WarioWare game, and it's some of the most brilliant use of the touchscreen on the Nintendo DS. But that, the Zelda Picross, the exclusive themes, those are the things that all seemed pretty cool to me, and be the most worthy of redeeming your coins on.
Yeah, I'm sitting at 670 platinum coins right now. I'm thinking maybe I shouldn't have bought that shirt in Miitomo earlier. I'm not sure if that hurt me here or not.
So is 670 your grand total between the two kinds of platinum, or just the main kind of platinum?
I don't know. The first one that has, I think, the Miitomo icon says 540. The one in the middle says 670. And I have no
goal yet.
Okay,
so you add those together. You have... 1,300 coins. So, you're sitting pretty. You could buy either of those those games.
Oh, yeah, I guess I could.
Deciding which one you want. Yeah, see, that's the thing that I was saying was confusing early on, is that it does not make that clear that those are the same thing. I mean,
okay.
It's not too hard to look at the icons and be like, oh, yeah, that's what they're saying.
Okay, well, the icon does say available, yeah. So I guess that one's on me, because not all of them have that. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that's the thing there. Now, here's a question for you. Zelda Picross and WarioWare Touched are 1,000. Which one should I get first?
Well, for me, it's a no-brainer to go with Zelda, because WarioWare Touched, I have the DS cartridge. I can still play that game, whereas Picross, that's the only way to get it. For you, if you haven't played Picross, I would, try to sample it first, perhaps with the Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's why it's such a clear-cut way to go with Zelda for me, because it's the only way to get that title. No other options.
Yeah, I might go for WarioWare first, besides not having played it first. It lasts until, I think it said July 1st, July at the very least. Zelda Picross is until October 1st, so...
Yes, it is until October 1st, but I hadn't noticed that about Wario, so you make a very good point there. Of course, it is a little tricky when it comes to these Platinum points, because just the general multi-purpose Platinum points, they are finite. There doesn't seem to be an easy way to replenish those. Now, if you're doing the Miitomo stuff, you can go in every day and be like, okay, I earned 5 coins for this and 5 coins for that and 10 coins for that. But not so much for the main generic Platinum points. And it's like, yeah, could you actually get all of these prizes if you wanted to? If you were really hardcore, like, yes, I need to get everything. I need the costumes and I need the themes and I need the games, I wonder what they will do to make all that stuff available. Hopefully, they can make it so it's actually possible for the hardcore fans to get all that stuff.
I hope so. On a related note, I just clicked back to the My Nintendo homepage, and I saw a platinum coin sitting there. I clicked on it, and I now have 30 more points collected as my My Nintendo sign-in bonus weekly.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. That just jumped me up to 700 on... my middle bank there.
Well, as you were saying, this is sort of gamified in a way, and there actually are hidden ways to get points. Look around the site, you might find something to click on, and suddenly, hey, I got more points. So it's good to keep your eyes open for that sort of thing.
Definitely.
Now tell me, what would you like to see them doing moving forward? What else should they add to My Nintendo to improve it? Maybe add some more cool prizes or something like that. What do you want to see them do?
Well, right now, the exclusive games is the big draw for me. Mm-hmm. I know that Club Nintendo in Japan had several exclusive games that we didn't get here. I think we got a Game & Watch, like a physical game that you could order.
Yes, the Game & Watch replica. Mm-hmm.
Well, besides the Game & Watch replica, I think there was a three-pack, like as a Nintendo DS game. I think they eventually offered those on the eShop later. I can't quite remember. There are some other odds and ends. One I would love to see come over is Tingle's Balloon Fight. With or without Tingle, yeah. I love that game. I actually imported it. I would love to have a version that I could play on my Nintendo 3DS at any time. They can swap out Tingle with the Balloon Fighter if they want. I don't care. Just, for demographic and localization purposes, just bring it on over. Throw it up here next to WarioWare and Zelda Picross, and I'll be there. I'll be on Miitomo every single day until I get it.
Yes, indeed. For me personally, I would like to see them add. This thing is clearly focused on digital. So far, no physical prizes. They've talked about maybe doing physical prizes down the road, and that would be cool too. But, let's just focus on digital, because that's the easy and obvious thing to do. So digital soundtracks, I think I mentioned that on the show before when we talked about Club Nintendo. I would really like to see them do that.
That would be cool.
I can understand why they didn't do the physical ones for a lot of the soundtracks that they had in Japan, just because they have to, produce quite a quantity. But when it's digital, why not? Why not just make a download code and suddenly you can get these soundtracks to, Mario Kart 8 or Mario Galaxy 2 or, Mario 3D World. It just seems so obvious to try to get that stuff out there. I mean, I would buy as many of those as I possibly could. Give me Star Fox, give me Zelda,
oh,
give
man.
Me Kirby, give me Pokemon, give me all that stuff, give me Fire Emblem. And following along those same lines, you know, maybe some digital art books or something.
I was just thinking that, something like that. I'd much rather have a physical art book, in all honesty, something I can put on my shelf next to Hyrule Historia and my Mega Man Official Complete Works and all that fun, and the Mega Man Robot Master Field Guide, of course.
And but if they can't do that,
digital is a good alternative, yes.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. But tying into something else you were saying, and I guess I was saying too, about, you know, how they've released these really cool prizes in Japan on Club Nintendo that we didn't get here. Also, that happened in Europe a lot.
Yeah.
That's one thing I'd really like to see with My Nintendo. Don't screw over North America this time. In fact, don't screw over any territory. Try to keep it as even as possible. So, you know, there's parity and everybody can get this stuff. And we aren't just standing there shaking our fists saying, why did they get all the cool stuff?
I agree. Grass is always greener, but in this case, it really is. I'm sure it's greener for Europe because I hear the price you have to pay to get that many coins is absurd. But then they've got the cool stuff to begin with, so at least it's an option. And then Japan just seems to blow us away, so... You know, everybody has their pluses and minuses, and it'd just be nice to have everybody on the same page.
Yeah, totally. And if they did start doing physical rewards, you know, one thing I was always jealous of was when Japan would get, you know, those cool exclusive controllers like the Virtual Console Super NES controller. So if they started doing physical prizes, that's the ones I would want most. You know, give me some sort of, you know, N64 Virtual Console controller for Wii U, or a Super NES controller, or an NES gamepad. Ooh, an NES Max, that'd be the best.
Oh man, can you imagine an NES Advantage?
Sure, why not?
That'd be a big piece of hardware. One thing that I definitely think they should bring back, they took it off of Club Nintendo, I think it should never have happened, is the Hanafuda cards. I wanted to get a set of those so bad, and when I finally had the coins to go for that after I'd gotten Game & Watch Ball, it was gone. They never brought it back, and it's just such a part of Nintendo's history that I feel like they should never be out of that kind of thing. Like, that should always be a perpetual prize. Now, if they want to, I don't know, maintain the value for the Club Nintendo people who got it, do a different set, I'm fine with that. But I just feel like some sort of Hanafuda cards, like, should be there. Like, I've got some, like, old Nintendo playing cards from Japan Airlines over here that a friend got me. And, I mean, that's pretty awesome as well. But Hanafuda, you read about the history of Nintendo, and that's usually pretty much, like, always at the beginning. So, as a fan of Nintendo, just to not be able to get those just feels... wrong.
Yeah, that would certainly be something cool to be able to obtain.
In terms of digital games, I do wonder if having them as rewards would open up some possibilities that maybe they've had difficulty with before.
Oh yeah?
Well, let's see. There's the arcade version of Donkey Kong. I know there's some rights issues there. Possibly similar to the whole kerfluffle regarding the original Star Fox and Stunt Race FX, the Super FX chips. And I'm wondering if, like, say they weren't available through, like, more traditional means, like if it was smaller scale, if they'd be able to negotiate a better deal, if that's what they need to do. I'm wondering if this provides a possible avenue for that, because I've seen similar things done because, like, you know, just a matter of scale, you know, smaller, making things more possible. So I wonder if that's a possibility.
Yeah, convention exclusives and things like that.
As far as Donkey Kong, there's also that modified NES one. I think we only got that for the 3DS over here, unless you bought a certain console, which if you already owned the Wii, I think, at the time. I forget exactly how they doled it out, but this would be a great place
for it. I don't remember. I know I have it.
Yeah, I've got it somewhere, and I think it was on a handheld. I'd love to have a Wii U version to play on my TV, even if it's not quite arcade perfect. But all the same, the window for getting that was so small. This would be a great way to bring that back. I guess what I'm saying is Nintendo could possibly use this to celebrate more of their history in a way.
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely lots of possibilities they could do with this. And I just hope they do something that's you know, fun and interesting and keeps people engaged. You know, it's only been going on for a week, so, you know, it's hard to give too much of an evaluation, but I would say it's off to a pretty decent start, despite, you know, the bit of confusion about the different types of coins and the interface and all that jazz. And I'm happy with the free game. I didn't have to fill out any surveys this time, so that's nice.
That's kind of a mixed bag. I sort of missed the surveys, insofar as apparently the surveys for Super Paper Mario are what led to Paper Mario sticker starving as it was, and well, after that, I certainly filled out every survey that came my way. So, you know, being able to get feedback like that, I'll kind of miss it, but at the same time, they were kind of a pain too, so I'm torn.
Well, who knows? Maybe that will be a way to earn platinum points in the future. It's like, hey, fill out this survey and earn a few points. Anything's possible with this, it seems.
Yep. Endless possibilities at this point. We're just getting started.
All right. Well, I think that does it for this topic. And that's pretty much a show. But before we wrap it all up, I think there is still time for a dramatic reading. This time from the back of the box of the NES game Illuminator Boat Duel. Brother, your ship has finally come in. Get ready, get psyched, get turboed for the sea thrill of your aquatic life as you delve into the racing scene. Your dream, to dethrone the Emperor of Foul Play, the King of Sore Losers, the legendary Power Boating League World Champion, Disaster Don. He's as cunning as he is rotten, and if you don't believe he'll rock your world to stop you from pulling a coup, you're about a quart low. This race ain't over till the fat lady sings and Don's hearing soprano. But hey, the competition doesn't start here. No, sir. First, you've got to get by seven of the world's most aggressive enthusiasts. Except to them, this boating trip ain't no holiday. A high seas demolition derby does have strong potential, though. Let me tell you, man, the Bounty Boys are here to collect, and they'd love nothing more than to reap what they plan to sow on you and your boat so they can take the title for themselves. Take them on in the ocean, the bayou, and the wharf. Whoa, look out for the pearly whites of the gator, the snapping jaws of the great white, and the crazy swimmers that wade into your path. Jump over objects, roar past the buoy, and race to the checkered flag. Watch out for the nasties' ram attack. One too many collisions could sink both your Illuminator and your dreams. Use prize money to visit the dry dock and beef up your boat, add a turbocharger, and repair hull damage. You don't crack under pressure. The same holds true for your boat. Fortunately, you've got the tool to keep the baddies from making you throw in the towel. Ever since you were a little tyke of about 9, you've dreamed of racing the leanest, the meanest, radical raspberry red Illuminator 234 Edge, the likes and sounds of which the world has never ever seen before. You know, a boat with such a thunderous roar the competitors quake but the beautiful beach babes swoon. Nothing is better than that. Right now, both are within your grasp. That is, if you get to the races. So get going, buckle up, and get set for a rocky ride. In the end, you'll be more than a star. You'll be a champ. Wow. I'm pretty sure that whoever wrote that was paid by the word. That is the longest back of the box copy I have ever come across.
No kidding. Who made that?
That is ridiculous. Electrobrain was the publisher on that one. And they make it sound like the most amazing game in the entire world.
Yeah, they must have had the electricity at full blast going to their brain for that one. I think my favorite part was the part about the Illudium Q36 space modulator that you've been dreaming of driving ever since you were a kid.
I've already forgotten about that part. Weird. Anyway, I believe that is a show. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at PowerProsPod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can also follow me, The Hoff, on Twitter, at Chris The Hoff, and you can find Dave The Ox Oxford at LBD_Nightrain. That's NYTETRAYN. You can email us at powerprospod@gmail.com. And if you like the podcast, it would be great if you would give us a rating on iTunes. Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, David Oxford.
The power is yours.
And our good friend Toadette.
Here I go!
We will see you next time.